every single day is the place in which he wants to be on mission. See, we've got to get away from the idea that the only people who get to be the church are the ones who get to be on a stage on Sunday, or the people maybe are the professional pastors or leaders. That church is not primarily a Sunday event, but a people saved for God's purposes in the world all day long, every day, in every place.
All right, thanks, Jeff. So that guy's name, if you're wondering, his name's Jeff Vanderstelt. He's a pastor in the Washington State area. And the reason I showed you that video today is because we're going to be starting a new series in our sermons today where we're going to be going through the book of Acts through Scripture. We're going to be picking back up where we left off as a church a while ago. We're starting Acts chapter 8. But as we go through Acts, we're also going to be going through kind of using this book that Jeff wrote called Saturate. So here's my copy of it. Unfortunately, I have a dog, and she thought that this was my homework, so she, you know, got to it there. But your copy doesn't have to look like that if you want to get it. Anyways, if you want to get the book, or if you're interested in kind of going along with us, we're going to kind of use this to guide us as well. And there's even a deeper Bible study that you can get called the Field Guide. But I just kind of wanted to make you aware of that. We're using some of that to supplement what we're going through in the Scripture.
And Bible study starts up this week, right?
Yes, Bible study starts Wednesday, so we're going to start having Bible study again at our house on Wednesday nights, and we're going to use that. And we're going to use that book to kind of guide us through the Bible study. So today, like I said, we're in Acts chapter 1, or sorry, Acts chapter 8. It's going to be a little bit of a different kind of day. A lot of times I like to like really dive into Scripture. We are going to get into Scripture today, but I want to just kind of paint this big overview of the series that we're going to be going through called Saturate. Again, I just want us to see this kind of big overview of where we're going today. So we're going to go through some Scripture, but also going to just kind of set some direction for us. So think about how important somebody's last words of their life can be, right? You've heard the term famous last words, I'm sure. Think about how important your last words are, or maybe somebody else's last words were to you. Okay, if you've had somebody pass close to you, unfortunately, maybe think about that right now. What was some of the last things that they said to you, and how did that impact you going forward? Okay, one of my favorite stories is as a pastor, his name is Dallas Willard. He's passed on now, but he always would tell the story of how his mother, before she died, when he was a young boy, told his father, the last thing she said was, keep eternity in front of the children. Okay, meaning keep this mindset of what's the eternal things? What are things that are important, things about God? And that set a trajectory for his life of impact, right? That set his direction. Okay, so the point here is last words can have lasting impact and direction. And Jesus' last words that he spoke before he went back to heaven, after he rose from the dead, are recorded in Acts chapter 1. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." All right, so Jesus set the direction here for the entire course of what would happen after that for his disciples. He set the course of the church for the last 2,000 years when he said these words. He was going to grow his kingdom, but he was going to grow it through an unexpected way, through the people who were right there listening to him say that. He was going to grow his kingdom through witnesses of Jesus going into the world for gospel saturation by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about what does that even mean today, right? First of all, witness of Jesus. Okay, God says that if we're saved, if we believe in him, we are his witnesses. That means that we've seen something and we can relate it, right? Think about a witness in a court stand. Not only have they seen something, they know something, but they can also relate it to somebody. Right, and that's what we're called to be as Jesus' followers. We're called to be witnesses, people who can, we've seen what Jesus has done in history. Okay, we've also seen what Jesus has done in our lives and how he has impacted our lives. And then we're able to relate that to other people and share that story with others. Okay, so we're called to be witnesses of Jesus who go into the world for gospel saturation. We're going to get into that a little bit more today. By the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning we don't do it by our own power, our own strength. It's not like we're really wise and smart and really good at this whole sharing the gospel thing. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's power working in and through us, all right? So that's Acts chapter 1:8. Like I said, we're going to pick up the story a little bit later today. If you have a Bible with you, if you want an extra one, there's some over there. Acts chapter 8. Let's start in verse 1. Okay, before we get into Acts chapter 8, I just want to paint this picture again of what God wants to do and how he wants to fill the earth with his presence. Okay, when you think about the word saturate, you think of like something filling the whole thing, right? If a sponge gets saturated, the water goes in, the water fills the whole thing. God wants to saturate the earth with his presence through his people. That's been God's design the entire way forward. Okay, starting in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. This is after God creates humans, and it says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is a lot of times called the dominion mandate, where God gave man dominion over things. But see what he says there. Multiply and fill the earth, right? God wants to fill the earth with people who are created in his image and worshiping him so that the earth would reflect him in that way. Okay, so fill the earth. And so we got that commandment all the way from Genesis, but even as you move into the New Testament and the church age, God is still wanting to do that through his people, the church. Okay, check this verse out from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23 says this. He put all things under his feet and gave him, this is talking about Jesus, gave Jesus as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, this verse gives us this picture of like Jesus is the fullness of God and he fills all things. Okay, and his desire is to fill the earth with his presence through his people. Okay, look at this again. It says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. His body is the church. Okay, when scripture talks about the body of Jesus, it's talking about the church, the people of God. And God wants to fill the earth with people who worship him and know him. All right, so let's get to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says this, and Saul approved of his execution. Okay, and Saul approved of his execution. So we got to have some context there, right? Like, first of all, who is Saul? So Saul would later become known as Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. At this time in his life, though, he was a different person. He was not a follower of Jesus. And before he was a follower of Jesus, he was a fierce opponent. He was somebody who persecuted the church. And he actually approved this execution of a Jesus follower earlier in chapter 7. That man's name was Stephen. And Stephen was the first person to be killed for their faith in Jesus. I did want to share this today. So like just some perspective. I was watching something on the news and it showed this statistic about Nigeria right now. Okay, just to give us some perspective, like this can feel far away from us when we see people in the Bible being killed for their faith. But we know that it's happening all over the world right now, right? And it's something we need to remember and as followers of Jesus, like know that it's going on. And the statistic that I saw was over the last 4 years, about 11 people are dying every day in Nigeria, 11 Christians, okay? And they're being persecuted by Muslims there. And it's something that we need to know is going on and happening, okay? So back to Acts, though. So the killing of Stephen, opens up this door for more persecution. And we read this in the second part of verse 1. It says, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, so this persecution ramped up so much that the disciples had to leave Jerusalem, and they had to go to other areas. Now, you can see the map there on the screen, and that little comment about them going to other places, it might seem insignificant, right, until we remember what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said. They were going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, right? That's what Jesus said they were going to do. So you can see those four areas. You can kind of see where they're at in the map. So Jerusalem, the next area outside of that was Judea, the next area was Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. Okay, I think this is really kind of neat. Now, the chapters of the Bible don't always line up this way, but look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? That's where Jesus gave that commandment. You'll receive power to be my witnesses, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Then Acts chapter 8, verse 1, just flip it around. There rose on that day a persecution, and it scattered. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Okay, so if you think about it, that was the command they got in Acts 1, 8, but it took until Acts 8, 1 for them to actually go and to do that, commandment, to follow that commandment. Okay, this was, a lot of scholars say that it was actually 4 or 5 years that had passed in between Acts 1, 8 and Acts 8, 1. The problem was the disciples weren't leaving Jerusalem. Okay, that was where they were comfortable. Like they knew life there. They were comfortable. They were already there. They didn't want to go to a new place. Judea would have been familiar to them culturally, but it would have been a little bit harder to go because that's where Jesus was rejected in a lot of his ministry. Okay, and then Samaria, this would be even harder for them to go. Okay, Samaria was like, if you know about Samaria in the Bible, Samaritans hated Jewish people, which all the earlier followers of Jesus were Jewish. They hated each other because Samaritans were half Jewish and were kind of half breed. So the point is, this is shocking, a shocking statement for them to hear that they're supposed to go to Samaria with the gospel. Okay, we can miss that, I think, today. So they were supposed to go to these places, but it was more comfortable for them to just stay where they were. Right? So Acts 8:1 or 1:8 needed Acts 8:1. The persecution that they had was hard, I'm sure. Obviously it was hard, but it was part of God's plan to get them to where they needed to be. Okay, it was all part of God's plan. The point is here, sometimes God brings hard things into our lives to get us to where we need to be. And it's all part of his good and gracious plan. Okay, sometimes he allows hard things to happen to get us to where we need to be, just like he allowed this to happen to get them where they needed to be, right? And Romans tells us this, and this is why we can be happy about that. We can rejoice about that as believers, right? We can rejoice in our suffering. Romans 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us, right? So this is our hope. This is why as Christians we can say, yes, hard things might come, but that's okay. I can rejoice in that because I know God has a plan to produce something in me, to produce endurance, which will produce character, which will give me hope in life, in this life and the life to come, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. So it's all stemming from God's love being poured into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. It's not part of God's plan to punish us or anything like that, but it's part of his loving process when we go through hard things. Think about this more recently, right? If you think about it, like recently, church or globally, a recent example of this might be COVID, the COVID-19 thing, right? COVID-19 is obviously hard, super big challenge worldwide. A lot of suffering is taking place through that. But I know it doesn't feel like this here, but globally, God used that to really grow the church. The church might not be growing as much as fast in America, but globally speaking, the church is growing. Places like Africa, places like India, places like Iran even is a place where there's more and more believers in Christ. So God is using COVID and these hard things to bring something good out of something that was bad. Okay, that's even actually kind of part of our church's story. Our church really started, was birthed out of COVID and what was going on in the world. And the point is God will bring those hard things into our life to show us, to show us his good plan. So I just wanted to show you this too, to kind of emphasize that point. I think it's just good to like kind of share just like a little bit of the story of what God's done here and our church and where it all started. So here's where it started.
Lori, shut your eyes.
Shut your eyes, Mom. Okay, this is where our church started. I told my mom I'd never show her this, but so, yes, our church started here. Let me play the video. Guess I could have cut some of that out. Suspense.
It happened so fast, too.
So
kind
of keep
your,
oh, there it is.
There's Dan.
Okay.
No way.
So, there I am. That's me right there. That's like about a 15-foot ceiling. If you can't, it's because the camera's on the thing, but and the concrete floor. So I'm at my youth building at our old church in Ohio. You can see it was 2019, and I fell through the ceiling. So.
Which resulted in surgeries and rehab and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay, so the point is, I'm not trying to make this about me. And Justin, now you know why I was so skittish on the ladder the other day when Justin was helping me put the sign out front. But not to make this about me, right? But this was what catalyzed me into thinking, okay, I'm only here for a little bit. I want to be used by God. I want my life to be impactful for His kingdom. God, what do you want me to do, right? And it led me on this path to where we started church planting, and this church was birthed out of that. Now, that was a hard thing in my life that happened, but it was the thing that I needed to get me out of that comfort zone that I was in to get me to where God wanted me ultimately to be. And so the point is that I'm trying to make is God has to move us out of our comfort zone, right? He has to take us out of comfortable things sometimes and into things that aren't as comfortable to get us where we need to be going. Now, all of us, okay, this is not just for pastors. All of us have a mission field. All of us have a unique mission field, right? We can look at those four places Jesus mentioned and kind of apply them to us as well. Jerusalem, we all have a Jerusalem where we should be influencing, trying to make disciples. And that Jerusalem, I think, is our own family. That's where it starts, right? We need to be discipling. We need to be teaching our own kids about Jesus, about who he is, and about how to follow him. It has to start at home. If we're doing other things, but we're not winning at home or using our time at home well, we're not going to be ultimately winning the battle. Okay, so it starts at our home. It starts with our families. Then secondly, it moves out to Judea. This is places that are familiar to us, relationships we have through maybe church or through work or through hobbies, whatever that might look like. It's people that you know that that you're friends with and people that you can be sharing the gospel with. Okay, so we all have a Judea. We have to figure out kind of what that looks like for us and who those people are. Okay, then we all also have a Samaria. These are people in our community, but just like back then, Samaritans were kind of like the outcasts, kind of the people you didn't want to be around. These are the people that are different than us. Okay, and all of us have Samaritans. We're called to be reaching out to people who are different than us. That's what the church needs to be doing. So we have to figure out kind of who's my Samaria. What does that look like for me? How can I be reaching out to people in my community that don't necessarily look like me or think like me, whatever that case might be. And then finally, we have to go out to the end of the earth. We have to go to the person that we don't know at all. But here's the problem. As you go through this circle, it's really easy to kind of just get pulled back into the middle, right? It's really hard to go to do the outside things. It's comfortable in the middle. It's comfortable with our family, with people we know. And it's really easy to get pulled back towards that center thing. And there's all kinds of things that hold us back from entering our unique mission field. And you just got to figure out what that is, right? You have to look at your own life and figure out, okay, what's holding me back? Okay, maybe it's fear. Maybe it's just the fear of rejection, fear of failure. That's a common one. That's a hard one to get over. Maybe for you, it's just your schedule. Your schedule's holding you back from really sharing Jesus with others. Okay, that's a common one as well. Okay, unfortunately, sometimes it's church. I know that sounds weird, but church can hold us back from actually doing God's mission, because we get so focused inwardly and on our programs and the people that are already in this building that we forget there's a whole lot of people out there that's our real mission field. Okay, and unfortunately, sometimes we can kind of play the game of church without really participating in the mission. Okay, but the point is that I'm trying to make to you today is that when we say yes to Jesus, like when we say yes to following Jesus, we automatically say yes to Jesus's mission. And so many of us miss that. Like, we make it so easy in church world to just kind of participate like silently and sit back and be a spectator and not really ever get in the game, like not really ever move the ball down the field with other followers of Jesus. We just kind of sit on the sidelines and we come to church, we listen, but we kind of leave the whole being a missionary or on mission or sharing Jesus, we leave that to other people to do. Okay, my encouragement, I want to encourage you today that that's not God's best for you. That's not what God desires for you. God has something much better for you, and that is being a full participant in his mission. I want to finish out that little section there in chapter 8 through verse 4. Verse 2 says, "Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Verse 4. So those who were scattered went about preaching the word. We learned from verse 1 that these were not the apostles. Okay? So the people that were scattered, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but these were just normal, everyday disciples of Jesus who got scattered everywhere. See, that is what we're missing, guys. I think so often in church, we're missing just the impact that ordinary, everyday people can have for the gospel. If God's going to move and do an amazing work in this country, it's not going to be through pastors, ministry leaders. Okay, they have a part to play in that. We certainly do. But it's going to come through ordinary, everyday believers getting serious about God's mission. Look at what they did. They went everywhere. It says they preached the word everywhere that they went. Okay, so wherever you go, wherever they went, they preached the word. That word there, it's where we get the word evangelism. It really just means to bring good news. It's not like preaching how we think about it today. You're standing up, you're sharing a message. It's literally just bringing good news to somebody. Okay, bringing them the good news of Jesus. Think about how we naturally, all of us naturally share good news with other people, right? Like if we have something good or exciting in our life, like we have a new baby at home, we naturally share that good news with others. We put it on social media maybe, or you just tell people about it. Like we want to share that. That's good news. We don't feel like forced to do that. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to naturally, like we need to know it's good news. So we just naturally want to share that with other people. It's not something we have to force. We don't have to like make them cry like that. Whoever it is, like you're going to come to church, like you're going to come to church. I'm going to twist your arm into it. Right. That's not what we have to do. Okay. We just have to know that it's good news. It's a good thing. We're not inviting people into bad news. We're inviting them into really the most amazing news ever. And that's that God loves them, has a plan for them, wants to redeem them, wants to work and show them his ways. Okay, when God does this, it's really amazing. I just want to share a couple of ways I've seen God do this in my own life, and this is not about me. I want to make that clear. This church is not about me at all. It is all about what God has done and what God is doing, and so I give God all the credit for it. I've messed this up a ton. Okay, so don't think about. But this is just experience that I've had. So, and as I've gone through my life and seen different things in ministry, I've noticed that it's the everyday things, it's the times and experiences that happen outside of the church, in normal everyday places, not at the big church gathering event type thing. That really, like, that's where you see God moving the most. For me, I've seen it when we moved here. I went and worked at New Era as a roofer for a while and got to have so many good conversations with the guys over there about Jesus and the gospel, things that never would have happened had I not gone into that place, right? They weren't going to come to church. but I had to go and be where those guys were to share Jesus with them. And I hope that I know that had some impact on them. Other examples like football Bible study I've been a part of. I have to go to do that. There a lot of those guys, they're not going to just come into church to listen, but I have to go and be where they're at and to do that. So the point that I'm trying to make is I've seen God at work so much in the last couple of years, but I've noticed that it's when I go into places, when I go to where people already are in the everyday stuff of life and I'm bold and I share the gospel in that moment, that's when God is really at work. So as we close up today, we're almost done here, but I just wanted to share a couple of things. Like I said, I'm just kind of trying to paint this big picture today about like really what is this church about? This church is about the gospel. It's about sharing this good news of Jesus Christ. It's about us learning to live as missionaries. And I wanted to share two things, our vision and our mission, just to kind of keep these things in front of us, okay? So our vision as a church that's been from the beginning is to be part of a disciple-making movement across rural Pennsylvania. Heidi and I especially have, and a lot of you here, we have a heart for Pennsylvania and rural Pennsylvania especially, and that is our focus area. And what we want to do is be part of a disciple-making movement. Okay, we're not just trying to start a church or churches, whatever. We're trying to be part of a movement, and that looks like a lot of different churches, right? That God's going to use a lot of different churches in a lot of different ways to be, and we just want to be part of that. Now, in a movement of disciple making, success looks like gospel saturation. Okay, that's a term that we threw out there at the beginning. So what is gospel saturation? That's when a church in a region lives in a way that gives every man, woman, and child in their area repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the good news of Jesus. That's the first part of it. Okay, so think about this. How can we as believers live in a way across many different churches and belief systems and all those things, but if we're a believer in Jesus, how can we all live in a way where every person in this area, okay, think about the people that are on the other side of that wall right now, Courthouse Grill, or people that are driving down the street, how can we live in a way where everybody has repeated opportunities to see the gospel lived out, like they see Jesus and other people, to hear the gospel and what it is and have opportunities to respond to that? How can we actually do that? And okay, then the second part of that definition, which is also important, and be discipled in the way of Jesus in a personal relationship. So not just share the gospel with people, but then also walk alongside of them and show them how to follow Jesus through Bible study and prayer and all those types of things. So that is the goal. That's the vision that we want to see, that we want to be a part of. If the church is doing that, then that is success. Okay, we sow the seeds of the gospel, we share the gospel, and God does the rest of the work. Okay, and then finally, our mission. Okay, that's our vision. Our mission is more specific to us. How do we think about and how do we feel that God has best positioned us to be part of that vision? Okay, this is our mission. It's actually on the wall behind me as well. But our mission is to help people find their place in the mission of God. Okay, so what that means is we are here to like walk alongside of you as a church, to help you, to encourage you, to pray with you, to show you different ways that you can be figuring out what God's unique mission for you is. Because God has people. He has a unique mission field for you. He has people that only you can really make an impact on. He has people that only you might be the only person that person ever has a chance to hear about Jesus from. Okay, and so we want to encourage you into that, help you into that, push you into that mission field. Okay, so yeah, that's what our mission is here. That's what we're doing. We feel like if we do that, then that's when we're going to see God at work in the most effective. That's when he's going to, do what he does. Gonna just share a couple of phrases. Like I said, I feel like today I just wanted to like get it all out there. This might sound like a lot of information, but just I want to share some phrases with you that you're gonna hear me repeat again and again and again over the next couple of months, because these are such important things not going to go into a lot of detail on them, but these are so important. You're going to hear me say them over and over again. So I just wanted to get that process started now. So what that's going to look like, our mission is everyday people. It's living sent. If we want to encourage you into the mission of God, it has to be everyday things, right? We're going to show you, we're going to help you learn how to live your everyday life living sent on mission. Okay, another one. EMWC, that means every man, woman, and child equals an opportunity. That's another one, that's a new one, but it's one that we're going to be bringing back up because a lot of times we can think about like the world is kind of just like lost and hopeless and all that stuff. Listen, every single man, woman, and child is an opportunity for them to hear and respond and believe in Jesus. Okay, we're not going to be a church that just thinks like, well, they're just lost. We don't, there's no hope for them. God is so good, guys. He is so powerful and so big. He can save anyone. So every man, woman, child is an opportunity for us as a church. Here's another one. You can impress people at a distance, but you can only impact them up close. I hope that this church like embodies this. I know that it has already, but we're not here to like put on a big show. Obviously, you see our kids running around like banshees, so you know that it's not about that. Me and Heidi's kids. If we were trying to put on a show, it wouldn't be that. So the point is we want to live as a family, as a people who know each other, who are involved in one another's lives, because that is how we can truly have impact. Couple more. One more seed. I've never said this one, but this one just came to me this week, so I'm going to start using that. Okay, so like we as believers, we're supposed to plant seeds, right? We're called to like plant seeds in people's lives. We share the truth, and then God gives the growth, right? And sometimes for me, I think, oh man, I feel like I've been planting all these seeds, and how many do I have to plant, God? And I feel like he just tells me one more, like one more. There's always one more. There's always one more person you can share with. You can invite, you can have, yeah, you can just tell them about you. There's always one more seed that you can plant. And finally, I promise this is the last one. I feel like I've been saying finally over and over again. I'm sorry. This is the last one. Listen, mission has its origin at the heart of God. There is mission because God loves people. This is the most important fact of all. I can lose sight of this. Okay, I can lose sight of it because I'm focused throughout the week on inviting and sharing and engaging with people, and I sometimes forget the whole point of it is because God loves that person. And we have to keep that in front of us. We have to remember why we're doing it. We're doing it, we're planting this church because God loves people. So when we say yes, we want to follow Jesus, we say yes to mission. That is not an optional part of this whole thing. We are saying yes to making disciples and using our life for the mission of God. But last thing I'll say is this. When we do that, like when we say, I'm going to get off the sidelines of this whole thing and I'm going to use my life to share the truth with others, there's a closeness with God that we can't experience when we're on the sidelines. There's a closeness with God, an experience of his goodness and power and grace that we can really truly only have when we are in the mission field, on mission with him. Because when we're truly in doing those things that are scary and hard to do and sharing truth with people we don't really know how that's going to go, then we have to depend on God, right? You have to depend on him every moment when we do that, and we get closer to him when we give our life to his mission. So that's another part of this whole thing, is like we're not just telling you to go share with Jesus with people and invite them so that we can grow a church, anything like that. Really, it truly is all inclusive, and it's all part of us growing to know the Lord deeper and deeper. So again, we wanted to kind of share that broad overview today. We're going to sing one more song together. Heidi, come on up. And this song is about how we have witnessed what God has done in our lives. Yeah, do you want me to do it?
Yeah. I don't know this song. If you guys can stand up with us. Mm-hmm. I can run that. Oh, Jesse's got it.
It's on right now.
I got it. I fixed it. Oh.
God, you're worthy of all the good. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all the good. You left the throne and chose the cross, laid down your life to rescue us. The Savior then, the Savior now. But even death was not the end. You conquered hell so I could live. Resurrecting then, resurrecting now. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you bring life within. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of me. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy.
Father, thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your grace in our lives. God, thank you that we can't earn your favor, God, that it all comes as a gift flowing through Jesus. I'm just grateful, God, for what for that, for who you are. And we pray that you would help us to be witnesses of your power and to be able to share that awesome message of your love. And I pray that this church would be a place that message is not only proclaimed here, but also as we go out the doors. Lord, help us to be your church. Your church is the people of God on mission with you, and help us to be that everywhere that we go, so that the whole world might see your glory, so that the earth may be saturated with your goodness. God, I pray, just pray for that. I pray that you would start that. Just burden our hearts for that today. And we're just looking forward to what you do through that prayer. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, real quick, a couple of things before you leave today. So just wanted to remind you that Bible study is starting Wednesday night at our house, if you'd like to come to that. 6 o'clock at our house. If you have kids, we usually just send our kids to the kids' church at the Evangelical Methodist Church. So that's from 6 to 7:30. If you want to do that, there's that option as well. Before you leave today, there's Sharpies and some sticky notes. So we started doing this like a month ago. You might remember that, but we were writing down just initials of people that we want to be praying for. People that we would love to come to see, to know Jesus. Maybe they're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe they are, but they're just not in church. somebody that you're praying for. If you want to do that before you leave today, we're just going to put those sticky notes right over on that wall, just as a visual reminder that we're praying for those people, that we would love to see those people here in these seats. And we're just going to pray for them every week. So don't write down their name or anything like that, but just write down their initials, somebody that you want us to pray for, somebody that you would love to see come to church or maybe come to know Jesus. Anything else, Heidi? Yep. All right, that's it for today. Good to see you, and we'll see you next.